to call tonight's meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Committee's Metro Access Subcommittee meeting to order. As a reminder, today's meeting is being recorded. The audio recording will be posted on Metro's website at WMATA.com following the meeting. Before we continue, I'd like to share a few reminders to support accessibility and smooth participation. Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before your comment. This supports our ASL interpreters, participants joining by phone, and individuals who will listen to the recording at a later time. For those joining by audio, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6 and raise or lower your hand by pressing star 9. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature located under the reactions menu. Before we begin discussion, I want to remind everyone of our visual description practice. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all members. A brief description may include clothing or distinguishing features and your location relative to the screen. So I'll provide an example. This is Dr. Maggie Butler. I'm a woman with shoulder-length hair. I am wearing a solid brown top tonight. I'm seated indoors and speaking from my office. So at this time, I will read tonight's agenda. Give me one moment, I will share my screen.
Yes, we can see the agenda.
Okay, thank you. All right, at 4 p.m., call of order, system-wide accessibility staff. 4:05 p.m., a review and approval of minutes, the meeting agenda, and prior meeting minutes. 4:10 p.m., we'll have reports that include accommodations, customer service, and outreach. And then 4:15 p.m., we'll have a conversation about the digital assistant and My Transit app, facilitated by Mrs. Terry Ann Williams Hall. At 4:40 p.m., we'll have a conversation about Abilities Ride Providers, Where's My Ride app, by our VP of Access Services, Christian Blake. At 5:10 p.m., we'll have an Uber update by Kevin Hackshaw. At 5:35 p.m., we'll have public comment period. And then at 6 p.m., the meeting will adjourn. So we will now proceed with roll call. When your name is called, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
I am here.
Thank you. Darnice Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Present. I'm on my cell phone 2184.
Okay, thank you so much. Rico Dancy.
Am here.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. And Mrs. Fisher did let me know she was not able to attend tonight. Marcy Goldstein.
Here.
Thank you. Steve Caffin. Swatna Kumar. Philippa Mizell. Sandy Newzell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Summerfort.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. And Philip Weinthrop.
Philippa Mazzell, present.
Thank you. All right, at this time, I will turn the meeting over to Chair Sommerfeld. Is that correct? Are you ready or should I?
And Pat Sheehan's present too. Couldn't get off mute. Thanks.
So,
thank you,
Tawan
Pat.
is to do the first 15 minutes until I arrive home, and then when I'm signed into my device, then I will continue and I will let you
Okay.
know.
All right, well, I'm going to turn it over to First Vice Chair Tawan Farmer.
Dr. Butler, thank you very much. And everyone, again, welcome to the February 17th Metro Access Subcommittee meeting for the Accessibility Advisory Committee here for Metro. Again, Tawan Farmer, your first vice chair. We are going to start with the agenda that Dr. Butler just reviewed for approval, review and approval. Everyone has heard the agenda. Are there any corrections or amendments to the agenda as it stands? Hearing none, thank you. Next, we have the minutes from our January Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. I'm hoping that everyone did they go out in advance, Ms. Dr. Butler?
They did. They went out January 26th.
Okay, so I'm hoping that everyone had a chance to review, and if not, they are made available for your perusal at any time, I believe, on the website. So any corrections, discussions over the minutes as they were collected? Hearing none, thank you very much. Next, we are moving into the...
just for the official record, for both the agenda and the minutes, since there was silence, we are assuming by acclamation we are approving both the minutes and the agenda as is.
Correct. Correct. I'm accepting the magic.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, they have both been accepted due to one's silence. 410, we have reports, commendations, and customer service outreach by Ms. Anderson. Ms. Anderson? Hello?
Sorry. Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Goldstein. my name is Allison Anderson. I'm with the Office of Metro Access Service. I am a Black female with my hair in a bun and a brown sweater today at the New Carrollton office with headphones. So it is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Dolan Chittums, who will provide our public comment report from our last session. Mr. Chittums.
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums, Black male, long locks, wearing glasses and a blue shirt. So to get into it, there were no outstanding public comments requiring follow-up from the AAC meeting held on January 5th, 2026, or the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting held on January 20th, 2026. As all questions and comments raised during the meetings were addressed directly by Mr. Blake, the Vice President of Access Services, and no additional operational actions were necessary. Now moving to the commendations. In January 2026, there were 345 commendations. Among the recipients, Beaver Road received 39, Challenger received 53, Transdev OCC received 135, Industrial Road received 13, Hubbard Road received 80, MTM received 5, Eligibility received 5, and Abilities Ride received a total of 15. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums. And for our outreach report, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Blake, if he is on.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake, Vice President Access Services, African American male, wearing a Metro jacket, purple striped shirt. We didn't have any activities as we were the weather and just the holiday season, so there was no outreach done by myself. But again, we have continued, including this past Saturday, supporting events of various organizations, including the DC chapter of the NFB, with road supervision support during their large attended activities to ensure easy access to and from the location. So that's what we've done in terms of outside outreach in the last month and a half.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Blake. So, Mr. Farmer, that concludes our customer service outreach and commendation report for this session.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson.
Oh,
Next,
Maggie, Steve Caffin's here.
Steve, yes.
Oh, thanks,
Gotcha.
Tron.
Steve?
Yep, thank you.
No, go ahead. You have a question?
Oh, no, just asserting my presence.
Oh, very well.
I missed the
Well,
roll call.
I indeed. Welcome to
Thank you.
the
Thank you
welcome
very
to
much.
the meeting.
Thank you.
I will ask. I don't remember if we do. Does anyone have any questions for anyone who just spoke, Ms. Anderson, Mr. Blake, or Mr. Chittum? Okay. Hearing none. Ms. Dr. Butler, there's confirmation. No one has raised their hands during that section.
There is a hand raised, but I'm not sure if this is a member of the public. The
Remember this. Go ahead. What's the last four?
last four is 6760.
6760. If you are a member of the committee, go right ahead. If not, I will ask that you hold your question until public comment.
It's Susan Bowmaster. I am a member, and I just have a quick question. For the commendations, I'm just not sure. Are those locations or offices that the list is made up of? I'm not sure what Beaver Road and some of those places are. Thank you.
Ms. Anderson, I will have you confirm that. I do know the answer, but I'll let you confirm.
Those are various Metro Access vehicle garages, as well as other support offices. So the
Okay,
Beaver
thank you.
Road location is a garage where vehicles are housed and pull out of for Metro Access. Challenger, Gaithersburg is also a vehicle garage. Hubbard Road is also another vehicle garage, as well as Industrial Road. And then the other locations are support offices.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson.
You're
Any other
welcome.
questions before I move forward? Okay, great. Next, we have the digital assistant at My Transit app, which will be led by Tarian Williams Hall. Ms. Hall.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am a middle-aged African American female. I'm wearing glasses, medium length hair, and a white blouse. So I serve as director for Metro Access, and I'm deeply engaged in continuing to find unique and creative ways to use AI to improve our customers' experiences. Likewise, we'll begin to expand the number of users on the My Transit app, likely starting with Uber users and expanding from there. As I mentioned the last time, our Where's My Ride agents are adapting to the new chatbot that offers more accurate vehicle arrival times and direct Uber trip assistance. Mr. Blake, would you like to add anything to that?
Yes. Thank you, Tarian. And as Tarian Williams Hall mentioned, and we've been talking about this, but now we're really about to go full scale and trying to market and encourage customers to download and use the app. While we have been waiting for some features like booking your trips on the app and adding money to your Easy Pay account, things like that. And those things will come eventually, one day maybe. But right now, what you can do on the app is cancel a trip, But most importantly, you can see which provider is providing your trip, and if it's Metro Access, the vehicle and estimated arrival time. Turian mentioned that we're probably going to start this enhanced marketing and outreach effort with the Uber customers. And there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because we're getting, as more and more people sign up, more and more people want to use Uber, but we're not increasing the number of Uber trips. So what does that mean? That means folks with multiple trips, the likelihood that all of your trips are going to be on an Uber or any abilities ride is going to be declining. We're reducing that probability. It's still the easiest lottery for you to win, but it won't be as easy as it used to be. Let me give you one example of what we've changed in the algorithm just recently. If you book more than seven or more trips in a day, which is your right, and we want you to continue to book seven trips if you need seven trips on a particular day. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the probability of you getting all seven trips on abilities ride is now zero. You will not get all seven trips on abilities ride. That's going to be mathematically impossible. Six or more trips. While you still may have an opportunity to get six trips on Uber or abilities ride, the probability of that has declined. It's not zero, but it's declined sharply. So what that means is, as we've heard, and some of you may have already noticed, not all of your trips are on Uber the way maybe they used to be. But what we're getting, the feedback we're getting is, oh, I'm so used to getting trips on Uber, I didn't realize that trip was on Metro Access and I missed the trip. Well, we'll be kind of, you know, missed trip, generally speaking, especially if you're at home. Well, that's just a missed trip for today and that's it. But we're still the most customer friendly paratransit service in the nation. That's a fact. And some of the things we've been doing is sending out a trip. You miss a trip, we'll send out another trip. But it will not be an Uber. Say, oh, just send me an Uber. No, we're not doing that. We will send you another Metro Access vehicle when it's, you know, once it's available. But we're not sending you an Uber for a missed trip. So it's going to be very, very critical. And I'm going to put all this in a text message. That's how we're going to start the outreach with the Uber customers, Uber list customers. It is going to be very important for you to have the app and know which of your 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trips in a day are on dedicated or on an abilities ride provider so that you are prepared. But those of you, again, if you ever need 7 trips in a day on Metro Access, we are absolutely happy to provide it to you. But if you believe all 7 will be on abilities ride, either Uber or Yellow Cab or someone else, not going to happen anymore. Probably, again, the probability of getting 7 trips on abilities ride in a single day is now zero. And the Uber and the 6 or more trips, 6 trips is declining as well. So this is important. The app is a great tool. Doesn't have to be your only means of communicating with Metro, but it gives you a lot of information and it saves you a lot of time in terms of trying to call into the call center and getting some help. So that's the basics. I mean, if we want to have more discussion, we certainly can. But that's the basics of why we're now saying we need to really push this and get customers to be aware and willing to use the app so that you can have access to the information you need for each and every trip and no longer make assumptions that maybe I just didn't get the link from Uber, so I'll call Metro when I'm ready to go, only to find out that the Metro Access vehicle came, called you. I know one customer told me he was still sleeping and he didn't think he had a trip, so he didn't answer the phone. Things like that, we have to begin to address it. So we need customers, especially those who've been using Abilities Ride a lot, to download the app and be aware of their each and every individual trip. I see Miss Sarah has her hand up, but I don't know if that's from the last, but see her hand.
Hi, this is Sarah. Yes, middle-aged female, and I am lounging on my couch at home at the moment. So you partially answered my question already, which was, and I think I've asked this before, but it's about getting the information out to people to know where to download the app and what it is useful for. Because I feel like almost every meeting where it comes up, we get somebody asking, oh, what app? Where is it? How do I get that? What does it do for you? And I think some people have maybe different idea about what it can do, which, I mean, for me, as far as I can tell, it just lists the trip, the time, and who your provider is. There's not much more to it than that. As a secondary question, this is just my amazement. How can anybody get 7 trips in a day on Metro Access unless they're gone like 24 hours? Because the amount of time that you have to build in to allow for the windows and then the time it takes to get anywhere and then the amount of time you have to spend at a place before that you'll even let us get a trip back again. I don't think you can do that.
Physically you can't, but what happens is, and you know, this is why I always say, I love my customers and I love everybody, because a person with a disability is no different than I am. And so we just have to remove barriers, but people are smart, they're creative, they understand the situation. So if I book a trip from 5 o'clock in the morning, then another one at 7, 12, 1, 5, 6, all the way down to 11 p.m., I can get 7 trips on the Metro Access schedule. But I know, or I believe, that all of my trips are going to be on Uber. So I'm utilizing the tool, and this is where, you know, what we call it, latent demand comes in. Some people like to call it induced demand. We don't believe in that terminology. Person with a disability or person without a disability, you give them an option to something better and greater, people are going to use it. And we recognize that. And I always knew we would come to this place, but that's how they book 7 trips, but all of them won't go throughout the day, because again, with the Uber project and even with the other providers, a little less so, but even with the other providers, we've given customers a lot of flexibility. So I may book trips from 7 a.m. all the way to 11, but I know, Chris Blake knows, that customer is not going to probably be traveling at 11 p.m. They're going to utilize all those trips in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I just find that amazing, because if I try to do it online, like, it won't even let me book it for, you know, the certain amount of time in between from one trip to the next, to the next, to the next. So I would be amazed that anybody could master that. But okay, but there's people out there a lot smarter than me, apparently. Anyway, getting back to my original question. So how are you going to advertise this to people so that, you know, people who are not on social media, that are not going and digging around the website, because right, blind people are not digging around the website, how are we going to find out that it's out there?
So the first thing we're going to do is either today or tomorrow, or certainly by the end of the week, it's going to be a text message to those individuals on the Uber list. Then there'll be a text message to other customers whose data shows that they've taken a lot of Uber trips for one reason or another, through the lottery initially, through the secondary lottery, or because the OCC has offered them the Paul Semaphore deal, which is if your trip is later projected to be late, we'll offer you an Uber. Those are going to be direct text messages, because theoretically, everybody using Uber especially should have text message capability. So that's going to be a direct message to individual customers. Then as we expand it to more of the folks whose data shows that their trips are prevalent and being selected for other abilities ride providers, those individuals will receive text messages and robocalls. So that's the direct to the consumer information. And in each of those text messages, we'll have a link to download the app, whether you're using the Android or iOS. And then in terms of more broader marketing, I'll turn back to Terry Ann.
because that's kind of her area, and she'll be she can tell you more about what we're going to do in that regard.
Absolutely. So we'll start off by placing some IVR messages once we're ready to push this to the entire organization. The entire customer base. And then we might do some mailings of sorts out to the customers to tell them more about the app, maybe a pamphlet or two that gives them some detailed information on how to use the app. So we're still exploring that. We're in the early stages of this, but we look to start this effort certainly in March. No, definitely no later than that.
Okay, quick question. What's IVR mean?
I'm sorry, our interactive voice response unit. That's the system that you hear when you call into Metro Access Services.
Excellent. And I think if you wanted some thoughts about what users would find useful or what systems do they get information, I'm sure there's people on here that would be happy to give you some feedback.
Thank you for that. We'll take advantage of it.
Okay.
All right.
Any other questions from the, well, first, Ms. Hall?
I have questions too. I'm back, and I can take the meeting over from you to Juan.
You're ready
at home.
You're ready now. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm ready.
I stand relieved.
I will be proud to say, Ms. Williams Hall, that the cancel feature does work. After y'all got my last error message, and they took it out the vendor and tweaked it, and because you saw, I saw it a couple days ago and played with it, I said, "Oh, okay, they got this straight this time." I will say one of the biggest proponents of using the my transit app for about a year and a half now. It is a very useful tool, just to know the night before who are, depending on how many trips all your providers are. And it's also a useful tool to watch during trips when you have a Metro Access vehicle, because sometimes you're able to see which vehicle number may switch from one to another because it's projected to be late and they're trying to find a solution. Or if there's not a solution, sometimes that dispatch is moving it to Uber, and they're not more than likely going to call you. They're just going to push out a link to you, and when you refresh it, it says Uber, to try to get you picked up within the window. So that's another strong reason to have the app and to have it used during, your Metro Access trips. It's good for reservations use. I use it when I occasionally book on the phone with a reservationist because I can check them, because I have the negotiated pickup window, and I said and the pickup times and all that information is there, and if there's an issue I can politely correct them, politely of course, and gently, so the is very useful in that realm. Now, I still ask for a reservation number to be put on there for each trip, and hopefully the vendor, you can pass on that feedback again eventually, but we're going in baby steps here. We would love to see, obviously, now we got the functionality of canceling a trip, which is easier on the app than logging into the account itself, because sometimes it may take a couple minutes to log in and then go in and find the trip and cancel it on the app. If it's on your phone or on your laptop, you can instantaneously cancel it, because I did try to do it in both formats, and it does work, but it works far more faster. It just confirms, yes, you want to cancel this, boom, it's done with, than having to log in. I do look forward that we're able to do more functions with it in terms of booking trips and things like that in the future. Going with Tim, because I know, did you want to give a presentation about Tim and any functionalities first, Ms. Williams-Halls, or do you want me to hold my comments until after?
No, you're fine. I actually did just drop a line or two about him and what I just shared. I just shared that our Where's My Ride agents are more consistently using it to ensure that they're giving you guys the most accurate arrival times for the vehicles. And they can also use it to support some Uber trip services.
Oh, okay. And what also, Also,
just
what
kind
I've
of.
noticed, oh, sorry, with the app is you can go and set different types of notifications. I found this out a couple of days ago to your email and text that, oh, the driver's arriving in 5 minutes. Oh, you've been picked up. You've been dropped off. Those options are available within the My Transit app. There's a lot of useful pieces of information and reminders you can set within it in your account.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that.
Can I add one other thing about Tim though? Just isn't that something else that's coming up soon, not as quickly as this week with the lottery. But if you remember when Tim was first introduced, Tim would answer the calls first. And some folks, both in the AAC as well as the general public, found that a little challenging and didn't really respond to Tim the way we would hope. So we allowed Tim to be someone you can ask to speak to. So here's what's going to happen. We're not going to start because, again, we jump through hoops because we care about our customers and we're the most customer-friendly service in the nation. Now, a lot of you have my phone number and you call me directly, and y'all know most of the time I do answer the calls. And that's not going to stop. Generally speaking, you're still going to be able to call my number, and we're still going to be able to work to resolve issues as quickly as possible. But just like we have Tim, and right now Tim is an option, in the near future, when you call me, you're going to be calling Jim. I don't know if that's what we're going to name him. But what we're trying to do is get customers acclimated to speaking to a digital assistant first. So when you call my number in the future, I'm not going to tell you exactly when it's going to start, but instead of hearing my pretty voice, you're going to hear my digital makeover. And it will be someone answering the call, very polite like I always am, but ask you for some information and ask you very quickly to describe what's going on right this moment. If it's a late trip or you're stranded or something like that, I'll know what to say and who to get involved if it's not even just myself. If it's I want to recertify and things like that, we'll also know who to send it to. But part of this one is to give allow me to take a break every once in a while. But the other part of it is a first step towards digital answering that customers are going to have to get acclimated to. That's the direction we're going. Does it mean you can't ever speak to a human being? Of course not. But we have a culture here of I want to speak to the supervisor. And we have to move away a little bit from that culture. And you already heard me say at the last meeting, when it comes to Uber trips, at some point the supervisor can't do any more than what the dispatcher can do because it's a rules-based program, and the digital assistant, Tim, understands the rules, and Tim will either move the trip because it falls within the rules or it won't. And the supervisor won't be able to override Tim, the dispatcher won't be able to override Tim, and anyone who tries, as somebody found out this weekend, they are subject to discipline. So after a while, the agents aren't going to risk their job because somebody says whatever the story is. And as a reminder, doctor's notes are not reasonable accommodations for Uber. And Tim knows that. So you could tell Tim, my doctor said all of my trips belong on Uber. Tim is not going to accept that because Tim knows that's not a reasonable accommodation under this promotional program. So human beings are always going to be involved. This is a human-based service. We can't take humans out of this. The compassion of humans are absolutely necessary, and the ability of humans to make critical decisions will always be there in a paratransit service, especially one that's customer-friendly. However, human beings cannot be allowed to provide favoritism, if you will, to customers based on their story, rather it's yelling and cursing at them and then moving the trip just because they're yelling and cursing, or on the other side, where it's a sad, very heart-touching story, but it's not within the rules of the program. So we're starting a lot of things with AbilitiesRide and Uber in particular, but this approach of digital dissection of what is the need and how best we can serve you is going to become much more, I hate to use the word forced upon the customers, as opposed to us allowing the customers to decide when we do and engage in a certain initiative. But we're going to start with the calls to me. So those of you who ever have to call me, at some point you're going to hear my digital twin, and then you'll see, and we'll certainly talk about it before we do it. You'll see us do much more with the digital side of overall Metro Access than we've been doing on the phone calls.
So my last question for you and Miss Williams Hall, either one of y'all can answer. At one point, and yeah, I know y'all said the last minute, last meeting, you hinted, to help with those peak times, and for people who already have trips on Uber and they need to be restarted because of either it falls on the issue of it looked for a driver, couldn't, and you get the text back, it and that needs to be rebooked obviously, or now you have this common issue, and Mr. Hackshaw will hopefully address it later, where we're sending out links for people to press, but we're only getting the last half of the message by taking this ride and not the link itself, where we need to go in and do that again. And it's to the point where sometimes after twice, they have to go in and send it, request it to an Uber agent to just, start the trip. Because for whatever technical reason, those things are happening. When do we get access at some point this year for the digital assistant to do under those circumstances or a late trip, which is some of the general reasons it's under, the rules?
Right. So yes, Miss Williams Hall is working with the developer. We have noticed a couple of things, and I'll take the blame, if you will. Right now, Tim is programmed to send out links. One of the things I've realized, and when we thought that was a good thing, and that was what I asked Miss Williams Hall to build, and she built it. But actually, you're right. There are some cases with customers where sending out the link is not the answer. And so we need to find a way, and she's working on it, so that under certain circumstances, Tim can, in fact, just go ahead and activate the trip. Now, what we don't want, though, or because again, if you're using the Uber, this is just for customers who prefer Uber, at some point, you have to be able to use the link or the app to activate the trip. Getting an Uber link, but then calling Metro to activate it is not the partnership we wanted
Oh
between
no,
us.
I want to activate the link. It's just
I know
now I'm
it's,
just
and I
getting
get
that.
it. Right.
I'm not. They're obviously using the correct number because I'm only seeing the bottom half is by taking this ride and that messaging and not the top portion,
Not
which is the
the
link.
top. And we're working on all those type of things. The text message piece, some days it's a little challenging, most days it's working. But again, my ultimate goal that I've talked to you with, I've talked to Chair Sheehan and many individual customers, is to see the day that you could choose either the text link or go to your Uber app and access the Metro Access facilitated trips right from your Uber app, not only for the convenience, but
Okay.
also for the ability of spotting exactly where you are located at that moment when you request the trip. So we're working on a lot of things. This has grown much bigger and much faster than I expected in terms of the time frame. Where we are right now is probably where I thought this program would be in about 15 years. We've gotten here in about 7, and so we've there's some growing pains, if you will, that both sides are going through, because I get all the calls, I get a lot of the calls, let's put it that way. And
Yeah.
so we're all trying to work out any technical issues, and we're trying to learn as much from Uber before we bring in Lyft, which is probably going to be less than a month from now.
All right. And lastly, what I would suggest, Getting people acclimated to the app is maybe having, and AccessoRide in New York City has done this with their app for my AAR, is hold maybe once a week or so, webinars on how to book a trip, how to, do all the basic function. Well, now we can, on our app, we can, book a trip and do all the stuff that y'all want to do eventually through it, that hopefully we just showing right now people the basics of what types of information you can glean from it, where this is not to complain about trips or anything else like that. This is just to learn an intro on how to download and access the app. If y'all can maybe offer some kind of webinars to start, just throw out a blanket email or text, hey, we're going to have this from noon to one in about a week on this weekday, whatever, to learn about how to use this my transit app. I think that would be helpful to some people, but explain to them that this is only for demonstration and showing, and within that, and this is not about, Metro Access trips per se in terms of lateness and stuff like that.
Sounds like you've just given Terry and Allison some new work. So,
And I guess I would be willing to help with that effort to
I'm
help
sure you would. I'm
advertise
sure
the
you
app,
would.
the My Transit app.
Or we could pass it to Dr. Butler. I mean, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a great idea. And yes, even after our initial marketing, there's going to be a need for ongoing discussions. And I think Sarah brought up earlier, we need to look at where do we post this information? How do we get the information out to customers? Now, keep in mind, we have 40,000 or so Metro Access customers, but obviously not all of them are active. So we have a very targeted group of customers that we're going to be first presenting most of this information to in order to have the most impact for those who are utilizing these alternative services. But we'll certainly provide you with updates and ask for additional recommendations as we begin to roll out the educational informational piece of this.
Yeah, and I would, do like what New York is doing. They even got a picture kind of step-by-step guide on how to download it, how to do the basics on it, all the major things. If y'all can kind of throw that together, I know that's possibly in the works. That would help customers too, something they can refer to, and that's accessible to them.
Sounds good. Yes, sir.
Any other questions as it relates to this topic here of Tim and or my transit app? Rico?
Do we have to register for the app?
Oh, do you have to register for the app? So the only information you would need when you register for it is your Metro Access ID, an email address, and you will create a password.
Okay, I'll be trying to look for the app on my iPhone. Can't find it.
We'll get you a link to it. We'll get you the link.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Ms. Coles? As it relates to this topic.
Yes, hi. Thank you. I'm a middle-aged African American. My hair is layered, and I'm wearing a gray sweatsuit today. regarding Tim, excuse me, Mr. Blake, are you talking just from that website end, or because I'm starting to use to make my trips more now, and I really like it. It's a good system. Sometimes it kicks me out when it comes to setting a time that it, is trying to find for me. But I wanted to know, because you never got back to me regarding correcting some things on my profile. I'm still having to, tell it I have a white cane. And also, the first part of it, when it's asking you your pickup, like from your home, it doesn't give you an option to say which entrance you want to be picked up from. It just it says it's going to collect information, but it just goes on to your pickup, your next trip. So because I've been using it often, you know, I'm wondering how is it going to know about your first trip? Because some people always come through the side of their homes or the back of their homes. It's not allowing you to put a comment in for that area.
Before I get started, Terry, did you want to address that technical piece or?
Sure. Are we talking about the website? Are we talking about the web, or are we talking about Tim through the interactive voice response unit?
Well, I'm not talking about the website. I'm talking about through the IVR, the calling it in and using the number 3 for reservations.
Okay. And sometimes you say that you get kicked out when what happens?
I'm trying to get a time because I know it's you got to do on the hour or every 15 minutes. A couple of times, even today, I got kicked out of the system when I asked for 315 and a live agent had to take the call.
So I'm not aware of anything specifically related to that being an issue. Is that new or has that been happening to you for a while?
It's happened before. I'm not sure why, but sometimes it'll, like I made two trips today,
mm-hmm.
well, I made trips for tomorrow. It took the first trip because when the agent came on, because one time it didn't even take the trip. So the agent had to put it back in for me. But this time, it took my first trip. I was doing my return trip, and it kicked me out. I just asked for 315 or something like that, and it kicked me to an agent, said it was not able to help me.
Okay. The good news, Ms. Coles, is that these are transcribed, and so we can see what happened every step of the way. If you made that call today, Allison, hopefully you're still on. We'll track down the transcript, take a look at it, see what happened. And I'll have either myself or Allison will give you a call back to let you know what happened. That is not typical, but I'm more than happy to take a look at it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Certainly.
Now the
I'm
other
on,
thing
so
is,
I got it.
The other thing is, it's not forgiving. Like I wanted to change my mind about my, like the second part, it asks you, you know, it asks you if you want to do a round trip. And if you say no, because say I have a continuation,
mm-hmm.
and I say no, then it'll just do that one trip, and then you got to go back in to do the continuation. But I would like to just continue from where I am and not come back home, but go to another location.
Okay. That's a really good use case, one that the system was not built for. But Allison is on and she's capturing that. We'll take that back to the developer and start making that as an option so you don't have to give the start address again. And so really good news.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you so much for sharing it. So look in the coming weeks and months for an improvement there.
Okay, thank you. And that was it.
Thank you, you're quite welcome.
All right. We to stay on track and to make sure we get through all the topics, Vanessa will be it, and we do need to move on. And if you have any other questions, we can hold that for public comment. So next.
No, I'm done.
All right. Thank you. So thank you very much for that rich discussion about the digital system. We hope to get other updates to the My Transit app and the digital system in the upcoming future. Next, we're going to talk about Villevide's provider. And I guess the topic is I wanted to get a call center and reservations update. So and what's going on and what's been improved since this new transition kind of came in, what I've and then I'll give feedback of what I've noticed on the phone. So, Mr. Blake, you can take that ahead with this next topic.
Not a whole lot of updates. Again, I mentioned earlier that Lyft will be joining very, very soon, but we're trying to learn a few things first to ensure that their growing pains are lessened based on things they learn from our learnings and understandings. But also, I'm trying to see, we thought we had a guest on from another company that we have recently added. Yes, he is. Mr. Rob Bryans is on. If you all recall when Abilities Ride first began, we once had a company providing service primarily to and from the Washington Hospital Center and from the Metro Access Eligibility Office. They were doing a lot of the certification and recertification trips. Company was called VIA. You remember them? Okay, great. So a couple of years ago, VIA left the Abilities Ride program in order to venture off into some other great things that they're still doing, but they see that they now do have the capacity to come back and be a part of the Abilities Ride program again. And what they're doing right now, they're utilizing five wheelchair lift vehicles in the southern Prince George's County area, primarily serving a couple of dialysis facilities and three human services agencies. So we're keeping their trips kind of locked into the same model they had before, but just now different venues. But Rob, do you want to reintroduce yourself to the AAC and tell them your goals and plans for being a part of the Abilities Ride program?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Christian, and thank you, everyone. My name is Rob Bryans. I'm a white male with brown hair, wearing a blue shirt, sitting in front of my computer at my desk in my basement. I couldn't be more excited about the work that we have the opportunity to do with you all. And VIA has been a part of the Abilities Ride in the past, and we're excited to be back. Over the course of the last several years, we've done a lot of work in the ADA community across North America, across the United States, with a lot of your peers, a lot of your peer agencies. And I've got to say, your service is actually tremendous. You guys do a great job, and we are excited to be part of that and a part of the magic that's on the road every day. But we're starting small. We've got a fleet of five vehicles that we launched last week, and we're learning every single day, and we're going to be scaling that up to about 24 over the next few weeks. And we're servicing trips right now in DC and Prince George's County. And we'd like to offer riders white glove treatment, white glove service. And at this meeting, and anytime somebody picks up the phone to book a trip, we'd love for them to advocate for a ride on a VIA. We're proud of our work, and we're excited to be working with y'all. Thank you.
That's wonderful to hear. More options for DC and for Prince George's County, one of the biggest contingents, along with Montgomery and Maryland, compromises at least one third of the service, or more. Sarah, you have a question?
Yes, hopefully just a quick question. Did I hear that you said that these vehicles were ones that were equipped with lifts? And in that case, would that, this may be a question more for Mr. Blake, help with the issues some of our riders have that really wish to use lifts and not ramps? Would this provide them an opportunity to ensure they're getting the kind of vehicles that they need to feel comfortable?
Well, maybe in the future, but right now, I would say not necessarily. I wouldn't look at it that way because, again, with the Abilities Ride program, generally speaking, there are distance limits, time limits, and in this particular case, their trips are to and from a specific location. Now, they have big plans, but everybody has big plans. So we don't make promises based on the plans. We wait to see how things mature and grow and develop, and perhaps more generalized trips will be assigned to VIA for their wheelchair lift services. But to your point, we do have two other providers, Falcon and Sarah Car Care, who are doing generalized trips with wheelchair lift vehicles. They too are currently focused on Prince George's County. And you hear that theme because, as Mr. Semelford, as Chairman Sheehan, and all of you on the committee, you've heard a lot of the discussions over the years about Prince George's County being left out of certain things, and there are other opportunities elsewhere in the region, but we really wanted to make sure we demonstrated the equity and fairness in the assigning of trips and bringing on these providers. So to your first point, Sarah, yes, there is some general service available for customers who put in their comments that they prefer wheelchair lift vehicles. But again, on abilities ride, unlike dedicated paratransit, there are distance limits, time limits, and other factors that may not allow for that particular customer's trip to win the lottery for one of these providers. But on the dedicated side, to your point, we still have a few wheelchair lift vehicles in our fleet. We do want to move away from them for a variety of reasons. And like we were talking about earlier with Tim, unlike other places where I worked previously, where we would do it, have the law back us up and move on, we have been extremely deliberate in phasing out our wheelchair lift vehicles. And we're doing it because what we're trying to do is have the customers and help them develop their comfort, as well as the drivers understanding their critical responsibility in helping our customers transition from a 34-year affair with wheelchair lift vehicles to a new modern age of low floor ramp equipped vehicles, because that's the direction we're trying to go. But with these providers available, customers who indicate that they prefer wheelchair lift vehicles, if their comments, their pickup locations, their drop off locations, distance and time all fit, there is no reason for the lottery not to select their trips, unless it's the seventh trip of the day.
Okay. I don't want to belabor this point because I don't want to get the time thing off, but I think we should have a further conversation about the moving away from lifts things, because there are some people that believe it's not just a preference thing, that it's truly a necessity thing. And again, let's talk about that some other time, because I don't want to get us off track.
And there's something I can definitely work with you and consider for an agenda item, if you want me or want us to.
Okay, we should bring it up next month, and I think it'd be fair for the staff, we would share why this is an important move away from the type of vehicles we're describing. And let's have a full discussion at next month's meeting. I think that's a great idea.
All right. So with the rest of this time, Ms. Williams-Hall, if you can kind of give an update with the Metro Access Call Center with reservations, since I know you are the guru and forefront of working with them, that'd be appreciated.
Absolutely. So over the past year and a half, we've worked tirelessly to improve the culture in the call center with the aim of improving the overall performance and the customer's experience. We believe, as evidenced by their improvement in their call quality scores and a lot of the feedback that we get from the customers, that we've definitely turned a corner there. So this team has worked tirelessly to onboard new hires. They're improving their recruiting efforts. We believe bringing in a stronger caliber of candidate. And we have just recently begun efforts to completely overhaul their training and the training process. So while we have not reached the ultimate place of where we want to go, and we'll always try to get better, we believe that things are beginning to improve. And I hope you're about to agree with me, but we think that we are making some improvements there in reservations for certain.
So I will say, myself as a customer, because obviously I call on the phone every now and then, the quality has been great and better in terms of them being proficient, listening, repeating things back. There has been I'm going to say it's been rare that they are, because I can hear them, and this is where it tells me, makes it useful having my transit app, you're yawning. And I'm hoping that y'all doing some audits and spot checks, particularly, as we get on. I've seen it in the morning, I've seen it in the afternoon on a few occasions. And usually when I hear that, I'm like, they're gonna make mistakes, and I'm glad I have this tool in front of me. Then I'm going to politely correct you that I said this, just for quality assurance. Just is. I'm just being honest, feedback. That would be the only thing. Tell me your name, and also just making that consistent. And also, if you feel like you're going to be yawning, you may need to take a little break. I'm just being polite of how I say that.
Thank you for that. And to be quite frank with you, yawning is specifically mentioned in their customer service training. So, admittedly, a lot of the folks who are there haven't gone through the customer service training that's being offered right now to the new hires. Once we get done with the complete onboarding, then we're taking everybody back through that training again. But now that you've made me more sensitive to that, we'll absolutely address that tomorrow. Not that it would be an excuse, but do know that during the snowstorm, for the bulk of that time period, they were working remotely. As much as I would hate to think that could have been the time period where you experienced that, but everybody's back in the office now and have been for the last 2 weeks or so. So you shouldn't be experiencing such things if that was the time period when it happened.
All right. I'm just mentioning that,
No, thank you.
they've been great for the most part, on point. And I can tell when, I get a reservation, they're on it. They know how to do it. Boom, 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 and that type of thing. And then when I said, oh, they're yawning, I'm like, let me watch this and see where this is going to go and be very polite about it. And that is the only feedback I would have about reservations. Miss Coles, I see your hand is up about the reservations piece, and then I'm going to go to Grove now about where's my ride, and then roll into Uber because I know I want to make sure there's sufficient time for questions about that.
Okay, thank you. Hi. I just wanted to make an observation. Lately, when I've been calling in, if I have to speak, to a live agent, they're asking me to verify my address. And it keeps switching back and forth. But I'm concerned because sometimes I'm in a public place and I don't want to necessarily announce my address, my telephone number. And they said that has changed. They want you to verify it to them. And then when I tried to reach a supervisor to see if that something has changed, they're still asking why I want to speak to a supervisor. And, the supervisor is saying, so that because a lot of times the trips or the calls really don't need a supervisor or they want a different type of supervisor. So I can understand that, but sometimes it's about a coworker, and I don't want to tell them that I'm calling because the last person I talked to, I just think that should be more private. So those are my two concerns.
But I will say now, I'm gonna let Ms. Williams Hall answer. Back in the days, in the two 10, 12 years ago, that was part of the script where you had to verify after you told your ID number, your name and address just for, I guess, security concerns. And obviously that has changed over the years, and now it's come back to that. So, Ms. Williams Hall, I'm going to let you go ahead
Absolutely. So,
next.
Ms. Cole, we did change our posture on that because, out of an abundance of caution, if you think about it, when you make an inbound call to someone, you should count on the fact that they're asking you to confirm who you are. You technically could be anyone. And if we're giving out your address information and we don't really know who's calling in, we're putting your account security at risk. And so, just going through, taking a look at our processes and procedures, we re realized that that could potentially be a vulnerability. So, we did change that. That is absolutely a fact. It was changed about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago at the most. And now we require that the person calling in has to confirm the account information. And if you think about it, nearly everywhere else that you call, your bank,
whether you're calling the cable company or anyone, you have to confirm who you are on an inbound call. When an outbound call is coming to you from a company, that's different. You want them to confirm that they have your information so you know that you're talking to a legitimate company. So we just did what the rest of the industry is doing, and Mr. Semelford is correct. That was the policy before. Somewhere along the lines, things morphed. We realized that that's our safest posture with regard to safeguarding the customer's information. Then you mentioned...
Can I comment on that?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes,
because
ma'am.
As I was saying, the security is on your end and you verifying me. I mean, to me, that's apple and oranges, because you all have my information. I've given you my ID number. For me to have to announce it in a doctor's office or anywhere, that's not security for me, because now somebody, and I've had that happen to me, I will say a couple of times, where somebody is just taking my information. They've actually called me because they heard it aloud. So to me, that's not security, not for me.
So I completely understand where that could put you at risk, but imagine, if you will, that you weren't you calling in and you happen to have someone's ID number and you called in. All right, that's where the risk comes in. So we want to make sure that we're talking to the customer that who they say they are is really who they are. So that's how we're looking at it. So we, of course, you know, we can't control where the call is coming from. But from that perspective, if you're not in a private place, you absolutely are putting your information at risk. And we wouldn't necessarily recommend that you do that. But from our perspective, it is safest for the customer to confirm who they are before we take any action on their behalf. And so that's the reason why we made the change.
All right. Thank you so much, Vanessa. And we can come back to this again as a future topic for the subcommittee, if so need to. Sarah, I want to get a little update from Grosvenor before I delve into Uber, because I know there's going to be customer comment period and I want to make sure everyone is heard.
Very quickly, I just want to second what my colleague just said. I think it's a security issue. I was very uncomfortable the other day. I had to call in, give all of my information to Tim, and then he transferred me to somebody else. And I had to give all of my information all over again to somebody else. Being visually impaired, I can't even tell who's behind me or around me or listening. I'm in a public place. I'm in a hurry, somewhat stressed out. I don't want to be giving out that information. There's got to be another way to have a safe word, a password, a something or other else to identify yourself that's not forcing us to speak aloud in a place where we're not comfortable. So let's think about some, I get what you're saying about giving out our information to somebody else, but there's got to be some middle ground somewhere. That's it.
All right. And like I said, I can bring this up again as a subcommittee topic, obviously, because this is something that everyone deeply passionately cares about and we can discuss it. Mr. Grosvenor, can you give a little update on the call center in terms of where's my ride agents and everything? Just very briefly. And we'll probably get back to it again maybe next month if you're still on the call.
What are you wanting to know about?
Kind of an update as to, I know we've gone through a transition now, and what I've noticed is they've gotten more professional on the phone. I've done, you know, things like training and things like that, because at a time in the transition was kind of rough, and now it seems to begin to be smoothing out. So whatever magic wand you begin to want, it's not perfect, but we're getting there. It's working with being able to resolve issues and that type of stuff.
Well, Mr. Semelford, you are definitely kind in your recollection of the early on about it. Yes, there's been a lot invested there. The for a long time we were really the call volume was growing so quickly that one of our big problems was staffing itself. That has gotten much better. The same thing with the reservations department. We continue to work through those employees to build a team of people who will show up reliably and also who are invested in their own growth and just building their professional skills that are open to training and coaching and things like that. We've had a very high turnover in the past 18 months. But the great majority of that turnover are those same cases, individuals who were not necessarily invested into the success of Metro Access and just continue to work on those things. The training continues to cycle. Like Ms. Williams Hall referenced, there's been a lot of effort, certainly on her team, to just go through the training material and make it more consumable, more digestible for the trainee, and knowing, being able to see that and have those things rebuilt. In the near future, we will be cycling through groups of the existing employees to get them retrained on the new material. A lot of what you're noticing, and we've heard these comments from other employees on the floor. What you are experiencing, a lot of that growth, are the most recent agents who have come out of training. And their coworkers have noticed that their ability to handle situations, even though they're newer in the organization, newer on the team, they are better prepared to be on those phone calls. And so we have employees that are like, I want that. And we will have to start cycling them through and make sure that everybody gets the same level of training. I do appreciate that you're noticing that on the phone calls. Very important to hear that kind of feedback. But we, like Ms. Williams Hall alluded to, we have a lot to do. But I think we'll start to see some exponential growth as we start to deal with some of the negativity, some of the lack of team effort and things like that. Once those things start to build, that momentum will ramp up, and we'll see a faster growth just in the response and the professionalism and really our employees, their overall sense of well-being and satisfaction at work, because they're participating in something that matters and that they see value in themselves.
All right. And then my last question, I've only noticed on a few occasions, is because I now have the My Transit app, and it's a very useful tool. So I noticed trips in within y'all at the call center, how y'all decide, you know, y'all unscheduled trips where obviously it's supposed to be scheduled in the Metro Access vehicle, and y'all usually are good about either scheduling to that or another service before the window opens. But there's been a few occasions it's like I called at the beginning of the window, I said, this is unscheduled. What's the choice, Metro Access or an Uber? And they're like, oh, we got to get you to a dispatcher or agent, and this is high volume time. And most of them, they're like, oh, are you ready for your Uber? And I'm like, so at what point are they going to get it scheduled? Because doing it right at the beginning of the window, that means you're trying to find a vehicle, you know it's going to be late, and we need to get on this fast. So that would be my only point of reflection, we shall say, to get better at.
Yes, and we do have a dispatch team working on better identification of those things. Some of the issues that we experience in the afternoon, unfortunately, when it is peak time, the smallest thing has the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. And not saying that this is definitely your situation, but I do know that it happens. If we have we have that time of day and a vehicle has an issue that's taken out of service, something like that causes a disruption in the afternoon schedule, all of those trips get moved back into like an unscheduled status while they're working to try and place them. It becomes a jumble, and it makes a very big impact for everything, just a few things. So in the afternoon, when we are at our busiest, and everything is kind of, you know, it's in its spot, it's perfect, you have the one disruption, it ricochets. And unfortunately, we have days where there are several disruptions like that throughout the day. They just have the biggest impact in that afternoon time when we have the greatest volume of trips, and there's a lot of pieces moving around.
Because what I'm, I guess what I was asking is that first agent you reach, some of them are good. They're like, okay, they see my profile. We'll move it to Uber. Or some of them are like, I need to transfer you to a dispatch or a supervisor and figure that out. And I'm like, that's adding more time. And of course, I'm on hold for another 5 to 10 minutes before they say, oh, okay, yeah, we need to move this to Uber because we
You
don't have
see
any
some
other
very huge
solution.
improvements on that. So one of the things that Ms. Williams-Hall spoke about this earlier also, we have identified some, let's say, misunderstandings with our staff about the use of chatbot. And as we've really seen a big correction in that in the past week, and more of the agents who were, they were just unaware, partly because of their lack of usage itself, their lack of adoption. But they were just unaware of the real strength, the power that the chatbot puts in their hands as the Where's My Ride call takers. And they were still under this old impression that, well, if it involves moving a trip, I got to send it to a dispatcher because they're not supposed to move trips. You should see a big improvement in that because Tim helps out a great deal to allow that kind of movement. A trip that is late or the route has been interrupted or whatever, and move that to Uber, create the trip in Uber with the data that's already in Trapeze. There's no user intervention, so there's not an opportunity for typos and things like that. It's just a much more
Got it.
streamlined process. So you should see more and more of those initial call takers being able to handle those situations for you.
Got it. Thank you. And with that, I do want to move on to our to Uber right now. Are you there, Mr. Hackshaw?
Hi, Paul. I'm here. Thanks for
Mr.
speaking. Oh,
Hackshaw,
we
we hear
got oh, we
you.
got oh, we got another person. Oh,
Yeah,
go
we
ahead
got
and introduce
Pedro
Mr.
Lee.
Blake.
He's one of our he's one of Mr. Hackshaw's colleagues and
Oh, I'm
a
sorry. I'm
technical
so used to seeing him.
resource I utilize a lot. So he's just going to give us a brief update of the work he's doing, and then we can answer any questions that may anyone may have.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Christian, for the intro. My name is Pedro. I'm very happy to be here, making part of this subcommittee. I'm part of the operations team at Uber Transit, and among my responsibilities include making sure our programs are running as expected after they are set up and established. Happy to take questions, and as Christian mentioned, part of my work is making sure this program is running according to what we expect, and that means developing features or bridging the needs that you guys have with our engineering team. So I don't think I would have any recent updates to share, but I'm happy to take questions and understand whether there is anything I can help to support.
Any questions?
There's one
Mr. Sheehan.
from Pat Sheehan.
Hey, Paul, am I recognized?
Yes, you are.
Very good. Thank you. Pat Sheehan here. Kevin, it's good to hear your voice. I don't know if I direct this to you or to Pedro. Let's see, but I have five issues that have been sort of on the table since October, and people haven't been called back, so they are feeling forgotten. Paul?
Yeah, I'm so sorry you have been through those issues. I'm happy to address all of them. If you
Okay.
could send me via email, I think it's easier to consolidate all the information I have, you have. So, and I can give you an update as soon as I get your email, if that works for you.
Okay, that's good. Kevin, is that okay? I know you've been working with this. I don't know if this has gone over to Pedro to help solve the these issues or not. Mr. Blake?
I can
Yeah.
definitely sync with Kevin to
Oh
understand
yeah,
what he
Kevin's not
has
on the
worked
call
already.
today, Pat.
Oh, I thought he was.
We got another person here that
Okay. Oh, I'm
is part
sorry.
of the
I
Uber
thought,
team.
right. Okay, I thought
It's
Kevin was.
Pedro Lee Lay is working
Yep.
with us today.
Okay, so Pedro, yes, I will certainly get you that information. Kevin has all the information. He was working on it since October, but I'll get you that information. If I can, someone can email me your contact information, that'd be great. We'll get it to you, and people would appreciate probably a phone call, and so you can hear it from them, and then certainly we can get to the information
Sounds
that's out
good.
there.
If Kevin has all the details, I can sync with him and understand where we are on the updates and definitely reach out to the people who is missing the information.
Great. I'd appreciate it. Some of them are feeling really frustrated, so you may get a little bit of an attitude, but I'm sure you can work through that. I'd love to be able to hear. Well, why don't you get back in touch with them, and then maybe you and I can talk in a little bit then too. So that I think that sounds pretty fair. Good. Mr. Blake,
Sounds
that work for
good.
you, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No doubt.
Excellent. Good.
And before you, Sandy, because I know you probably have a geocoding issue, I just want to bring up the secondary issue of how we receive links. So what I've experienced is, okay, send me the link to activate, and all I'm getting is not the link itself, but by taking this ride on some of them work out perfectly. I get the link and the messaging, but we only get the second part of the messaging by taking this ride. And I know they use the correct phone number because I'm getting the second half and not the link I need to use to activate. And the issue with that is, I'm not able to access it right now, but it'll come back in a reminder again at some point, which doesn't become useful to me. So I don't, I'm sure Mr. Blake has made you aware. Can you speak to what might be happening, or is there any progress of figuring out what's causing that type of error?
Okay, thanks for bringing that up. Definitely, that's not the expected behavior. If you are receiving the second message, it means that indeed there's nothing wrong with your number. We have noticed that some of the text messages we have sent were not delivered to the recipient, and we are trying to figure out what's the root cause of that. Unfortunately, we haven't found the root cause yet, but our engineering team is consistently working on trying to identify it. If you share the trip details, I can forward that information to my engineering team because with more details and errors or samples that they have, it's easier for them to continue the investigation. So I'm happy to get the trip details from you and then forward to my team. And as soon as I have any feedback, I'll circle back with you.
Sandy.
Hi, this is Sandy Neuzel, senior. Female, white fluffy hair, sitting in my office at home. I have my screen off just because it's so hard for me to see. You don't need to see the top of my head as I look at my computer. My question is about when I click on the for an abilities ride on Uber. I get the message. I click. I'm ready to take the ride. Yes, I'm really ready to take the ride. Once they find my ride, it flips to a new screen automatically, which apparently is in my Sandy Neuzel Uber app on my phone. But at that point, I can see the face of the Uber driver, I think. I can see the license plate number, but I can't see the Uber driver's name unless I flip back again, and then sometimes I can find the Uber driver's name. Now, I can't read the license plate number on the Uber approaching. So, for my safety, I like to say when I open the door of the car, hi, so and so, and I say their name, and I wait for them to say my name, or I request that they say, you're picking up. And fill in the blank so that I know that I've corrected with the correct driver. Why is it that when it flips from the abilities ride requesting the ride over to an Uber map that I can't scroll up or down and find the Uber driver's name? Why is that piece of information missing? Or is it possible to somehow reinstate it?
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. I think that the way I'm seeing this flow is that when you request a flexible ride by hitting the link, we usually open either two different screens. If you have the Uber app downloaded in your smartphone, we will open the Uber app. If you don't have the Uber app installed, we will open the web browser. Both ways are options to make the trip easier to find, or to, let me find the best word for that, or to surface the driver information to the rider. If you are having trouble to identify the driver's name or face, this should be a bug. And I'm happy to investigate that further too. But I'm not sure if we can change that behavior, because that's the expected behavior. By opening either the web browser or the Uber app, we increase the number of information available to the rider. And the idea or the goal here is to increase awareness. And what you are doing, it's very, very, I would say, good, in the sense that it's a very good practice to ask the driver to say your name, so you are aware that, or you confirm that you are on the right car. So I would say that you should continue to make that good practice. Meanwhile, if you have details of that trip to share with me, I'm happy to share with my engineering team to investigate further.
Okay, so the next time that happens, you know, I've lost track of various ones in the past, but the next time it happens, who would I send it to pass it along to you? Or
Christian, do you think we can consolidate those issues with you or someone else from your team?
Absolutely, yes. Just send me the information. A screenshot is always helpful, but describe the information and we'll definitely get it to the team. And I'm listening to what you're saying. You know, I take tons of these mystery rider trips after I hear concerns like this. So I will try one this week. I can't say tomorrow, but I'll try one this week to replicate your experience and determine, because obviously not having a visual disability, I've never probably paid attention to that. But now that you've raised it, let me see what I can experience with it, and also share with the Uber technical team what you're describing as well.
Okay, it's probably happened to me, I don't know, 8 or 10 times in the last 3 months. So presumably it'll happen again soon. So thank you.
Thank you, Sandy.
And this is to you. Another, I guess, Uber common issue people are experiencing, and I know y'all working through this, is when, you know, we hit the link and it doesn't come back with a driver, and it gives that famous message of no cars are available. We know they're available, just it hasn't attracted to whatever price Uber presented. The car will not rebook the trip. There was once upon a time we got a link to hit it again to restart the trip to look for an Uber for that same trip. The issue is then we have to all call in the call center, and they've been very good staff professionally about getting the trip restarted, but that adds a lot more time. Has there been any effort in, and I see it every once in a blue moon, but it was more often in the past where if that issue happened, we would just get another link, try it within X amount of time to restart that link. What's been the progress in hopefully getting that restored more consistently, and we don't have to call in to restart a trip based on that specific issue?
Okay, this is good feedback, and lately is a business decision. We have the technical capability, but Christian can keep me honest, and I do understand that the goal to not having that SMS or text message to rebook the trip is intentional, because it's easier in one way to manage all the trips that either didn't happen because they were unfulfilled, or to rebook one of the trips. Christian, I think this is something we could work together here, but I would appreciate your thoughts on the flow, and what do you think?
Yes. On the piece Mr. Summerford is referring to directly, we want to keep that as is. We do. There are some other trips, yeah, there's that we can discuss, But if the customer has activated the link and due to surge periods of time of high demand, there is no driver available. I thought it was a great idea that we allow you to go ahead and adjust your price and send a new link to the customer. But I always thought after the first effort that you resend the link, then they would get the message. But it sounds like Paul is saying it's happening even before you receive a new link. And we'll
Yeah, it
talk
just
about
says
that.
rebook. Yeah, call
Yeah.
Ramada, rebook the trip, and then
You're getting that right away before you get a
yes,
link to rebook. So we'll
because in
talk
the
to
past,
Mr.
and yeah,
Pedro.
in the past, we used to get those links, and I would
The
just hit
first
it
link,
three, four
right.
times until until it gets a vehicle for me.
Yeah, maybe three or four times might be a bit much. Well, that's probably what they were trying to do, is make adjustments. So let me talk to Pedro and the team. I wasn't quite aware of that particular adjustment, but I'm glad you raised it. That's why we have these meetings. And we will at least, I like to at least get one, maybe two, but four or five times, maybe that's what they were trying to stop. And so we need to figure out a balance there.
Yeah, like during the day, the snowstorm, I obviously had because and you sent the text reminder because I know it came from you about it might take a lot longer. And on that snow day of that Sunday, yeah, it took a significant amount of time. But you know, one did come, and you know, because I was impatient. But you know, I would at least not. It would help reduce the number of calls fluttering to the call center just on that after the one time you have to call, and then it's taking 5 or 10 minutes until it gets either activated again by Uber staff or the agent has the ability to send you the link and you restart it.
Right. Now, I'm with you. We'll look at it. But and you're right. Yes, on that snow day, and I think even the day after, we did send out a text message to say, need to be patient. The same impact that is the same weather and impacts that Metro Access has experienced, Uber would experience as well. So I'm glad you received the message that confirmed somebody did get it. And yes, we'll look at the rebooking though, the automated re. Booking of the trip to see. Oh, another thing. See, I'm getting old. Y'all know I'm getting old. I just had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, so I'm
Because it
getting
will
old.
cut down on another calls and come in the
This
call
is
center from what
yes,
they've
but
done.
this was the other thing I talked to Uber about. Maybe this is what. So now it's all coming back to me. Instead of sending the customer a new link, what my ideal solution is. If they're saying there's no customer, if there's no driver available, I wanted them to go ahead and try to rebook the trip themselves at their adjusted rates. And maybe after two or three times of them just doing it within their own system, give up and then let the customer be informed that you need to call Uber. So, Pedro, I mean, we don't have to belabor this point. We're getting in. What I'm going to do is find out if the reason you're not getting a new link is because they are still trying to rebook the trip, but they finally gave up, then that's one thing. If the reason you're not getting a new link is because somebody just made a change and we're not sending out the link, we'll do something else. But my belief is you shouldn't have to get a new link and then re-click the link. We're giving Uber the permission to continue to try to find you a trip up to a number of times, sort of like when you're booking your Metro Access trip. You try a few times, then we put you on the wait list, which is not, again, that's another customer-friendly thing we don't talk about too much here. But the same way we try to negotiate a few times for your pickup, we're giving Uber the opportunity to try to find you a trip, and after it gives up after a certain amount of time, then you get the link to call Metro Access, because at that point, maybe you need a Metro Access vehicle to come get you.
I guess for me, because I'm a patient soul, I've never had to move to that point. Because
Okay.
and I know at certain points, like certain time periods, like late at night, you know, it's advantageous for me to wait, even if it's up to an hour, and I don't mind that. I know some customers, depending on the situation, so I can't say that of everybody. But I rather do that than if there's limited vehicles out there. Let that be for the people who need it the greatest, if that makes sense. Even though paratransit I have a legal right to, I choose to wait so that other customer has a choice too. in limited circumstances. But
Yeah.
we are drove into customer comment. Maggie, is there other people? Unless I see other AAC members, we do need to get into customer comment because I know everyone wants to have their say, and I need to get to members of the public first.
I do not see any hands raised. But if you would like me to say the spiel, I'll say the
Go ahead and
spiel.
say the spiel.
Okay.
This is Vanessa. I'm sorry. I thought I had my hands raised.
We
Two
did
one
not
eight
see your
four.
can we save your comment for customer comment if there's no other members of the
Sure,
public? Because I
sure.
really want to get to them first in this period.
Absolutely. Sure.
And
So we
same
will.
thing with you, Pat. I saw your hand too. We'll put you on the list, and you too, Sarah, because we need to get the to members of the public, because I'm sure they're on the call.
All right, so each speaker will have 2 minutes. When you are recognized, please state your name and provide a brief visual description if this is your first time speaking today. If you would like to submit written comments, they may be sent via the Zoom chat. Phone participants may raise their hand by pressing star 9. Zoom participants may use the raise hand feature within the reactions menu.
And who was our first speaker from the member of the public, followed by the second? So,
It looks like Timothy Jones and then Amanda Hillman, and then we can move into committee members. Oh no,
oh
I'm
no,
sorry.
there's another member of the public I see.
Jillian Banti would be our third.
So, first is Timothy, second will be Amanda, third will be Jillian, and any other ones as you are paying attention, they're members of the public. So, Timothy, you go first.
Okay, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
All right. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for adding the cancel option to the My Transit Manager app. That has been a real blessing, especially if you book trips when you're feeling fine, and then during wintertime, a flu bug decides to grab hold of you overnight, and you're like, oh, I can't go into work tomorrow. I'm going to have to cancel the trip. That's really nice to not have to fumble around on a touch screen calling Metro Access and entering all that information anymore. But one thing more that could be added to this app is sound effects, such as maybe having a car honk sound when the driver arrives. So that way, if you have your screen covered up and you're a voiceover user, you will still get notified in the app should the call not come in. Because it does say that those arrival calls are not guaranteed. In those circumstances, it would be nice to have the app also play a sound when the driver has arrived. And then, secondly, I had a situation at work a couple of weeks ago where a driver arrived. I got the robocall, but the driver wasn't in the right place. And it took us about 35 to 40 minutes with me on hold with various dispatchers and supervisors, and them basically having to dictate everything I said to the driver on radio. And to help alleviate some of that in the future, I was wondering if maybe there's a way we could extend some of this technology to the drivers too, so that after they've arrived now, not while they're in transit, but after they've arrived, you can be able to contact the driver directly if you can't find each other.
Thank you for those questions. So for the first part with the My Transit app, I did play with it and I noticed the other night and I have it set. We definitely can pass that to the vendor about having maybe some kind of, noise, honk noise feature. I do know in that app, because I just did it, is you can there are settings where it does give you the option. You can send it to text that the vehicle has arrived, because I used it this morning. That's why I know it exists. You can send it to your text, to your email, that type of thing. But definitely, and then Mr. Blake, I'll let you answer the rest.
Oh, those are great ideas, actually. We'll take them down. Let's see what the team at TransDev, because it is their app, can do. And this app is used by the company all over the country. So who knows? This could be a great addition that could benefit people all over the country. So let's see if it's possible, what they can do. Anything's possible, probably, but we'll definitely bring it up with the team, and I would love for them to be able to add it. Absolutely.
But like I said, right now you can go in your settings. I just did it 2 days ago. Do you want your arrival calls to be, it'll send me a text or send me an email. Your vehicle has arrived. Your vehicle's 5 minutes away. So it does have those options with the sound and noise. Yep, that's definitely a great suggestion. And next we have Amanda.
Yes, good evening. I'm a senior citizen and I am African American female, and I wanted to ask a couple of questions. One was related to the snow and the procedures for that. I had a trip scheduled, I guess that Tuesday after the big snow, and I wasn't sure if Metro Access was running or not. I guess it was on the news and everything, but I know in the past, or I thought I remembered in the past, that you all usually would either call, I don't know if that's considered a robo call or whatever, but I would sometimes get a generic phone call and you'd leave a voicemail message saying what your status is. And I didn't receive that. And when I logged into the website or the portal, it wasn't written out on the announcement screen. However, the recording, of course, told me what the status was at that point. But I guess I was wondering if the plan is to have those announcements delivered through phone calls to the Metro Access customers and or on the website when you log into the system. I didn't know if that was something I missed or something changed and I missed that. So I was just wondering about that.
So before Mr. Blake answers, because I can answer part of that, is I know during the inclement weather, and Miss Anderson gave a presentation in December, they did go with rope. I remember, especially for the night of the snow, I know they do robocalls when it's necessary in inclement weather. And I remember that night on that Saturday night, there was I did receive a phone call, especially trips when it was about to snow after midnight. Are you still taking this trip and you need to use Metro Access service, please call us back. So a human being did call, but I'm going to defer to Mr. Blake or Miss Anderson and the rest of your questions or expand upon it.
Well, yes, I would encourage customer to please call us to ensure we have the right phone number, because I made a total of four robocalls during this severe weather event. Prior to the event, we did have messaging on the interactive voice response system ahead of the event. I sent text messages, as you alluded to, Mr. Chairman, to customers who had been selected by the lottery for any of the abilities ride providers, but I also, made a specific mention to Uber because that was the majority of them. So I sent out text messages, we did IVR, and I also sent out four robocalls. So if you missed our calls, perhaps we need to check the number and make sure your number isn't blocked. Doesn't block the robocalls, which is also your right to do. If that's the case, we ask the company to not, what to say, take away the calls against their listing. But if a personal family has certain numbers or types of calls blocked, then obviously our calls can't get in. But no, we make four robocalls, two text messages. And we were making announcements on the system days prior to the snow.
Yeah, I know in the past I have received all of that, but this time I didn't, so I just didn't know if there was a policy change. But you know, I don't know. So who do I call to make sure that I don't have something blocked or?
Give me a call tomorrow if you can. I'm at 202-281-8984.
Okay. And then also following, I have another question, but I want to make a comment that once I was able to get out and Metro Access was able to get to me, I want to commend all of the drivers that I dealt with. I felt very safe and secure with them, maneuvering over the ice banks and getting me, you know, positioned safely where, you know, the walks may have been blocked, you know, and things like that. So I just want to publicly thank the Metro Access drivers for their fantastic service, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I know you have a final question, but I have a whole list of customers. Can you say that, and staff will definitely get that final question while I get to this next person, please? Thank you so kindly.
Okay.
Jillian is next, followed by Janice.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jillian. This is my first time to this Metro Access call. I'm an elder millennial. I'm a blind, low vision, mostly Metro Rail rider, but use Metro Access occasionally to connect me to those kind of places that aren't as accessible via Metro or bus. And so my question is, are you recommending that we download this app to basically book any future Metro Access rides? Because since I don't use Metro Access all the time, I've just kind of continued to call in to book my ride. So are you recommending that moving forward, download this app and you can basically book all your rides through the app system?
Great. Thanks for calling. Welcome to our meeting. Well, AAC can welcome you. But no, the booking on the app is not available just yet. Canceling a trip is available. And most importantly right now for us is being able to see which provider is providing your trip. You can do that through the app. So we do, you know, we would encourage you to download the app. If you don't use Metro Access that often, well, it'll be there like probably some other apps on your screen. But you would primarily use this app right now for canceling a trip if you've booked a Metro Access trip that you no longer need, or for being able to know which provider, and if it's Metro Access, which vehicle is coming to pick you up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next is going to be Janice.
Good afternoon. I wanted to comment on two prior discussions. One was when you get the message from Uber that no vehicles are available and it tells you to call WMATA. What I frequently end up getting after I call WMATA and tell them the story and they, you know, get me a Uber, I end up getting two cars. So I think Uber is doing something to get you a ride even after they've told you nothing's available, because usually I get two cars dispatched. And the other conversation I wanted to comment on was Vanessa and Sarah's concern about having to relay our address. I noticed that change as well. And I understand, you know, WMATA's position, but I'd like to suggest to them, similar to what Sarah said, when I deal with other like financial institutions or companies where I'm paying my bill over the telephone, what I get frequently is a message that says this phone number matches our records. So that's one way that you can try to confirm that you're speaking with the appropriate person. And another way is with a financial institute, I have a verbal passcode filed with them, which is different than your password that you use when you log in online. It's a verbal passcode that only they know. So they say, "What's your verbal passcode?" And I say, "It's blah blah." And they're okay, you know. So those are two suggestions of how you can get around asking the writer to provide that information orally. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. And that is it with the members of the public, correct? I see. And now we will go with members of the AAC who have public comment. And I see the list here. We're going to go with Vanessa, followed by Pat, and then Sarah.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to first off to say to Mr. Pedro, I wanted to give kudos to the Uber drivers. Through that season when we were, having difficulties with ICE, most of them got out of their car and came to the curb to meet me because the curb had a lot of snow around the edges. So I give kudos to those Uber drivers. They didn't just sit in their car waiting for me to figure it out. They came and helped me. Even when I was dropped off at home, they walked me to my steps. So they provided door-to-door service, really. So I wanted to give kudos to the Uber drivers. Then the last thing was on occasion when I do have a Uber driver and I've done a review at the end. How do I know that you all received it and someone has acknowledged it? Because I have an Uber driver that lives in my neighborhood and he frequently gets my calls. And we've had some conversations, and I would rather not get him again. Is there any way to wean out the ones that you get on a regular basis that you'd rather not get? That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. While
I'll
do
let
you have
Pedro
questions?
give you the technical, but the general way it works through this program is you let me know the trip that that person last provided for you. I get the information, including the trip number, the driver information, and I send that to Uber, and then Uber, through their algorithm, would exclude that driver from any of your trips in the future. If we ever hear of somebody really egregious, we exclude them from any Metro Access facilitated trip. But if you have a driver, you send us the information, and we can have Uber take the actions necessary.
All right, thank you. Pat, you're up next, followed by Sarah.
Hey, Paul, I'm good. I lowered my hand. It was inadvertently raised. I'm good. Thanks.
All right, Sarah.
Okay, so questions for Mr. Blake. So I have heard the same issues that Amanda raised from other Metro Access riders. It did not happen to me. I didn't have any trips scheduled during the storm or the immediate aftermath of the storm. But I did hear from other people that they had rides booked that were canceled without notifying them. They didn't get a robocall back saying, "Hey, your trip's been canceled because of the snow." When I did go on and look online, I did not see a message on the booking app in that announcements thing, which I was thinking that would be a pretty easy way to say, "Hey, snow issues are going on." When I called in, I did not hear the IVR message, if I'm using the right terms. So if it was up, maybe I missed it. But I certainly didn't get any calls or any text messages or anything like that as a general rider saying that there were issues and to be wary. So I think that maybe broader use of those tools would be better in the future. And certainly, I don't know the specifics of the rides that didn't happen, but I will tell you that there were riders that said, "Hey, I had a ride and it just got canceled and nobody ever told me." And like, I get these robocalls every night the night before. So, it is a thing that could have happened. And as you said, maybe it's phone numbers, but I don't know. Separately, I just had a question for you generally about snow. I was wondering what pattern did Metro Access see in terms of usage or requirements? I had heard somewhere that there might have actually been more requests for Metro Access use during and immediately after the storm. because people couldn't use the buses or safely get to the rail stations and things that they had been before. And I was just sort of curious what Metro Access does sort of to prepare for eventualities like that. Thanks.
So what I can say on that first day after the snowstorm, that Monday, and then I'll let Mr. Blakely, was they were only, because of the aftermath of the storm, they did not start. Okay, so they had service for life-sustaining type of trips, in which it matched what Metro Bus was. They only opened, I think, 4 bus routes to hospitals to life-sustaining activities. So in that spirit, they were only honoring primarily life-sustaining trips, and all other trips they were not starting until after 12 noon, because if they thought, you know, it'd be better conditions, the drivers can safely dig out their vehicles and they have more vehicles available if they were able to do it, but that was subject to change. Go ahead, Mr. Blake. But I believe that was what y'all were doing in those days after.
Right. No, so good, great questions. So first, in the snow in general, our ridership did not spike because our messaging, in fact, did get pretty clear. And so we had trips booked as the normal Sunday ridership, normal Monday ridership, but it wasn't even as high because, again, we had started messaging days before. And once the snow really began, that's when we intensified the messaging. And so our ridership was really pretty light. But when you have the level of snow that was on the ground and covering sidewalks and steps, it was just not safe everywhere. But for the most part, Metro Access ran its regular service, except for a few hours on Sunday and a few hours on Monday, when we were only doing, as Paul mentioned, medical essential trips. So that's not necessarily going to the, just a doctor appointment. These were the dialysis and other and chemo and trips like that. And those were only a couple of hours on both of those days. So no, we didn't have a spike in the ridership because customers did heed our message, and our messaging has been consistent over the years. Now, when you say, you know, folks didn't get the calls, this is the first time we've done snow before and other emergencies, and our strategy has always been the same. So this is clearly the first time I've ever heard folks saying they didn't get phone calls from us. Not saying it didn't happen. The easiest way I could deal with it, I'm not going to take a broad approach. It's just like with service. I deal with individual customers one at a time. So if you have names or just the phone numbers of individuals who say they didn't receive calls, but they had trips booked, because not only did we send out, I personally sent out the robocalls, so I know they were made. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about the weather in general, when we started intensifying the messaging more to those customers who had trips, and then when we in fact canceled trips, we sent out the robocalls. So people say they didn't get the calls. The only way I can get to the bottom line of that is know who those individuals are, look for their phone numbers, and go back to the record of the robocalls and see if something messed up on our end, blocking by customer choice on the other end. I really can't say that, but I know our record at doing this has been impeccable. So if there's a flaw, we haven't had a snow in a couple of years, so maybe something happened in the system, and we'll definitely check it out. But we've never had this complaint before, and so I'm surprised to hear it, but I'm willing to look into it.
Yeah. Okay. I will say myself, I've received during a snowstorm before, during, after, text, you know, so.
I got none. I mean, was it sent to everybody, or was it just sent to people who had rides booked?
So did you have a trip scheduled on Sunday or Monday?
I did not.
Okay, so you wouldn't receive anything. These are for customers who have trips that are scheduled, because they are the ones who we're informing them about the conditions they will be facing as the trips are occurring. And if you had a trip on either day, which we partially shut down the service to medical essential only, you would have received one of those calls. But folks who are not traveling on the days of impact would not receive a call.
Okay, that's good to know. Can I ask a follow-up question though?
We're at 5:59 and we're going to lose our interpreters in 1 minute.
Okie doke. I'll follow up later.
Yeah, we'll add this to the next meeting.
All right, I see the hands. Maggie, can you give the spiel for those who have raised hands and where they can send any comments or customers, because we must end because we're losing our interpreters.
Sure. If you have any questions, comments, and concerns that we were not able to gather tonight, please send those to metroaccesschair@wamata.com or by phone at
Metro AAC's chair. You said Metro Access.
Sorry, metroaacchair@wamata.com or by phone at 202-962-1100.
And this is Philippa. I was just going to say kudos to anyone who drove in that snow. Any Metro drivers. Thank you.
All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All righty. See y'all next month.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for a great meeting.
Mr. Blake, this is Vanessa. Can I suggest some? I had the problem with Comcast Xfinity, and they have a tendency to, because I had to call them, some calls were not coming in, especially my Metro Access ones. They will trying to verify the validity of the company, and some of them, it'll say, it's a spam call, so they will not even let it come to your house. So I don't know if these people have a concern about not getting the message, have Comcast, but that was what Comcast was doing. They were blocking calls for me, and I had to have them to readjust my security level.
Mrs. Coles, Mr. Blake is no longer on the call, but we'll
I wanted to get that in if he wanted to check it out for those people who say they're not getting the calls. I don't know if that's their case, but.
We'll send this to him. And if there are others who have questions, you can either stay online and we can send those to him as well, or you can send those to the email.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Very welcome.
Good day.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.